Well, Father, Lord, we bless you. We praise your holy name, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for what you've done for all of us. You died on the cross for us. You gave us a path to walk. You taught us, you gave us the way to learn how to walk your walk, Lord. And I praise you for that. I just praise you, Lord, for all the things that's going on. I thank you for all the trials that we're going in and the trials that were behind us. They've all taught us something. I just thank you, Lord, for all these wonderful people here. I ask, Father, that you fill us all up with your Holy Spirit, that renew that wonderful infilling of the Holy Spirit for each of us, Lord. And I believe that every one of us is going to be filled because we have great and bold faith because you've given it to us. I ask, Lord, that tonight be a wonderful night with you on our minds, Lord. And I thank you for it. I thank you, Lord, for giving us this avenue of being able to fellowship with one another. I know that hopefully during even the tribulation we'll be able to get together on this thing. I don't know that, but we can sure pray for it and believe for it. Father, we thank you for it. We thank you, Lord, for any kind of line of communications that we can keep open to each other and to find out, Lord, the things that we need to know and what to pray for during those times, in Jesus' name. Bless our meeting tonight, Lord, with your presence. And I thank you for it, in Jesus' name. All right, y'all carry on here just a minute. I got to take this call. Hello? Yeah, Pat, just...
Testimonies?
Go ahead, Matt. Amongst ourselves.
Yeah. No, I was just asking if anybody had testimony.
Anybody?
Yeah, don't you have one?
I don't, but my wife does.
Well, get her on there.
Yeah, there you go. Where you at, Anna?
Should I wait until Michael comes back or just tell him?
Don't be camera shy now.
I'm going to be camera shy. I do have a testimony, though. Earlier, I was out in the garden, and I got stung by this big red bug, and I didn't know what it was, and it hurt pretty bad. So I came inside, and I think Matthew prayed with me too. And then, almost right after that, the pain went away, and it didn't swell up or anything. And I just rebuked it as soon as I got stung, but I didn't know what stung me. So I came inside and I got on the internet and I looked it up, and it's called a cow killer. And they say it's one of the most worstest stings you can get from an insect. And there was a couple of short videos online about people, like science, like researchers or whatever, stinging themselves to see what happens, you know? And one guy was actually up hopping around and screaming. And the other guy was like, oh, it's not so, when he starts screaming, he thought it wasn't so bad. But then he starts screaming and dancing around. And I just thought that was so cool how... I didn't experience any of that type of pain, and it went away really fast. And I mean, it did hurt some, but nothing like the couple of videos of those guys dancing around and screaming. So I just give God all the glory for that, that, you know, tread upon serpents and scorpions that are all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. And I just thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. I'm looking at it now. Yeah. I've seen those are, actually wasps, what they are. They're not actually ants. They're waspers.
Yeah.
Reason I had to... Do what?
Wasp without wings.
Yeah. Yeah. And those are the ones you can step on and step on and step on and step on. They're hard to kill. Yeah. I've seen a lot of them. David's having some issues with his brand new Mac Pro, and that was Apple support calling back, so I had to give that to him so he could get some stuff fixed up on his computer, hopefully. Well, all right, that's a good testimony. Yeah, most things do. They don't very seldom do they sting people, but when they do, it's bad. They're not aggressive like a lot of wasps are, but when they sting you, you know it. Okay, anybody else got a testimony?
I've got one. Well, I've got one in a prayer request, so I can say, you know, I've texted you yesterday, Michael, and is like, you know, to kind of agree and pray with me. Mm-hmm. And out of the blue, Saturday night, you know, I was just sitting on the couch down there, you know, in the living room area of your guys' place, and all of a sudden, you know, a gentleman who I met yesterday for the first time, but you know, I kind of came in contact. He's kind of outside involved in a cult that I was involved in back in 2011 down in Texas. You know, he's originally from, I think, up by where you're at, Tim, you know, Matt, where you guys came from, I think up somewhere in Oregon. And I believe God called him down, you know, down to Texas. Wells, Texas is the name of this town where this cult came from. They were in Arlington, Texas when I was down there, you know, back in 2011. But you know, he since God has called him down there, and he's helped people. You know, I mean, he lives next door to them, you know, and he's kind of helped people who are trying to escape, you know. And so, I mean, out of the blue, he called me on Saturday. Or I mean, you know, called me, he left a message. But, you know, I sent him a text, and he's saying, hey, I'm up in the New York City area, you know. And I mean, he was still thinking I was living up in New York, you know. Or I mean, I lived in New York, you know, because I used to travel up there in the Buffalo area. But I said, no, you know, I'm actually living in Ohio, you know, I mean, but if you're traveling through that way, maybe we can meet up. And then, yeah, I mean, you know, we ended up meeting up. And then, you know, the Lord just gave me such a peace, you know, after I saw that he called, you know, he said, give him the Power and Praise book, you know, just go and give it to him. And so, you know, we texted, I said, yeah, you know, I'm off Monday from work. You know, I'd love to meet up with you, you know, and talk. And I think it was Monday he talked, because there's actually a young girl about 26 years old, I think probably 28, 29 right now. She came in contact with that group. She there, you know, her and her parents. I mean, this story has received national, probably even international, you know, attention. You know, one weekend, you know, supposedly she went out with her friends, and the next thing you know, she's caught up with this group. In Wells, Texas. So, I mean, it's been on national headlines and all that stuff. I mean, a lot of people know. And so, you know, he ended up bringing her parents, because I guess they went to a conference up in Pennsylvania or so. You know, so I got to meet them. And, I mean, the Lord really – I'm hoping, you know, I'm not sure what's going on here, you know, because, I mean, it's not like every day out of the blue. I mean, this brother named Matt, we talked a couple times here and there. And I thought, well, there's something to this. You know, I had a pretty powerful weekend. I mean, I've seen some breakthroughs lately in my life. And I mean, I can honestly say, you know, I mean, kind of getting the testimony that thank you, Lord, for putting me through something like that. You know, I look at where I'm at today compared to back to 2011 and, you know, at least 2008 of my life. And God could have used something else, but he decided to use that group to get me to make a decision, you know, to truly follow him. Because, I mean, I left the church. I said, well, I want nothing to do with it, you know, if this is Christianity. And then God really, he was trying to get my attention. You know, I mean, I was very rebellious, very bitter, very unforgiving. I mean, all that. And, you know, I wouldn't listen to anybody. And then not even God. You know, I wouldn't deal with anything in life. And so God used this little abusive cult to break me and get me to this point. You know, but I mean, I can honestly say thank you, Lord. You know, I mean, it's awesome. You know, in the movie or, you know, in the book, Power of Praise, you know, just to give thanks for everything. You know, most people... I mean, I'm sure there still are people out there who are very bitter about it, but I look at it and I, you know, God has brought me to a point where I can say, thank you, Lord. Thank you that you loved me enough to put me through something like that and bring me through it, you know, to get my attention. And so, you know, I want to, you know, let's all pull our faith together. I want to pray for this young woman. Her name's Catherine, you know, and I end up meeting her parents, and I mean, I've kind of seen, you know, the testimony of what's going on there, but I believe that, you know, God wants to do something here. I mean, I believe. I mean, yeah, he can pull her out of this group. But Lizzie, you know, I mean, I believe that, you know, I mean, God put that book on my heart, you know, in order for them just to say, hey, thank you, Lord. You know, I sense that's because I'm reading the testimonies of the book and how the moment you say thank you, the moment you accept where you're at in your life, you know, God begins to move. So, I mean, let's pray that most of all, they would take this serious, you know, and I mean, just take God at his word. Okay. Or just read the testimonies and just say, hey, this could happen to me. You know, he could pull my daughter out of this abusive group. Cause I mean, from all they've said, she wants to leave. But it, I mean, if you know anything about cults or just destructive groups, I mean, it's in the church. They rule by fear. You know, if they can get you afraid and they can convince you of what they want, then they've got you. You know, so I mean, we understand Satan loves, fear is one of the big demons. And so if he can keep you afraid, he can do pretty much whatever he wants with you, you know? And so let's just, you know, I'll go ahead and pray, but yeah, believe with me. You know, I believe that, you know, most of all for the parents that they would take this book seriously, you know, because the Lord laid it on my heart to just give it to them, you know, and I went ahead and did that. So let's see what let's see what God will do here. So Father God, we just come to you tonight. We thank you, Lord. I want to personally thank you, God. You know, I thank you for my past, Father. I thank you from where I'm at now and where you're taking me. Lord God, I thank you for this group, you know, and just the your children that that genuinely want to follow you, Lord. I thank you for them here. You know, I see they have a heart and a desire to please you, Lord. I thank you. Lord, I thank you for the many struggles, and I thank you for the Groves, you know, and the love they have for their daughter, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that you love her. But Lord, most of all, we just ask, Father, that you would teach them to be thankful. You know, I sense her mother, there's some resistance there, Lord. You know, she wants to act in the flesh. She wants to say, well, you know, something needs to be done because they're here, you know, abusing women is what she said yesterday. You know, so I mean, I sense that she thinks she needs to do something, Lord. You know, she feels this need to really do something. But Lord, help her. Help her to see that, Lord, only you can move in this situation. Only you can help her daughter. You know, there's nothing we can do in these situations. And I ask, Lord, Father, that you would take that little book, The Power and Praise, and that you would speak to, you know, them. You would help them to understand just how powerful it is, you know, to thank you, Lord, to just accept where they're at in their life currently. And Lord God, we ask that you would just, you know, I mean, if it would just move heaven and earth, you know, the simplest thing, it doesn't matter. But Lord, you know what to do. You know how to get their daughter out of this group. But Lord, if not, Father, we ask that they would learn in this time in their life to thank you, regardless of the outcome, to just accept where they're at right now, to realize, Father, you've got them where you want them. You know, right now, currently in their life, you have them there for a reason. All the circumstances have, you know, come about. You have orchestrated everything for where you want them currently. And so, Lord, I mean, if whatever you do, it doesn't matter. You know, you have your reasons, but we ask that you would help them, Father, through reading this book, to just be able to say thank you, Lord, and to really mean it. And Lord, to thank you for what you're going to do in the lives of them. And we just give you all the glory and the praise. It's in the Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we're looking for miracles.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Okay. Anyone else? Anybody got a testimony or a praise report or would like to pray about something?
Yeah, Michael?
Yes, Judy.
I'd like to lift my son, his wife, and the family up in prayer. I've been contacted that I can't see or call them or anything anymore. So, and then I'd like for the Lord to give me peace and understanding and forgiveness for them and stuff. I'll pray, and then I'd like for you to also pray.
Okay.
Lord, I lift up Doug and Angie and all my four grandkids, and I'm asking that you bring somebody by, show them the truth, to have them open their eyes and let them see what's going on. See you. They just don't have any of you in them. And, Lord, I ask that you give me peace and understanding and comfort in this and help me get through this trial. So, Lord, I just thank you for all that you're doing, and I know that you're going to bring him in, and when Doug comes in, he's going to be a mighty warrior for you. Yes. And I thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Father, we thank you for this trial that Judy's going in. We thank you, Lord, because it's going to make a mighty woman of God out of it, because she's going to understand that you're in control.
Yes.
You're the one that's in control. Doug's not in control. She's not in control. Right. You're in control. Amen. And Father, we thank you for that. We thank you for these trials that give us that realization that we're at our weakest. So if we're at our weakest, we're just going to praise you, Father, because we know you're working. We know you are working, Father.
Yes.
And we thank you for it, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that she's going to see that this is all it is a test for her to believe the Lord Jesus Christ is bigger than the situation.
Amen.
And Father, we thank you for that. We praise you, Lord, that she's going to jump up and she's going to just praise you, Lord, before this trial. Because that's all it is. It's a trial that you've instituted to break her from the habit of trying to fix things herself, that she's going to rely on you now, Lord.
Amen.
That's what you do to all of us, Lord. You're doing it to me. You're doing it to others. You're doing it to everybody, Lord. That we don't need man to help us. All we need is you, Lord. We thank you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord, that this is done. It's done. And Lord, I thank you for putting peace back into Judy, putting rest into her, and putting a smile on her face, because it's you. That's all it is. Ain't nothing in this world can happen that you don't already orchestrate. Lord, we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I believe it. Praise God.
When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord will lift up a standard. And I just believe, Lord, that because the enemy's come in like this, Lord, that there's glory on the other side. The light's on the other side, and there's going to be a praise testimony.
Amen. There's glory on this side, too. There's glory on both sides. We praise God in the valleys. We praise God on the hills. Glory to God. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. That's what we do. We're Christians. We're believers. We believe in the Lord God Almighty. We believe that the Lord God Almighty is in control.
Amen.
And all we have to do is believe, and that's what we're doing, every one of them. We're believing for each other in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Thank
you, Father. Amen.
Yes.
Oh, glory to God. All right. That's a done deal. What's Missy doing? What are you doing out there? Hunting for gold?
No. Hey, I would like to share something and then
okay, yeah.
Ask for prayer. Remember I mentioned about my son and soon to be daughter-in-law about how they were fighting and stuff and prayed for them. Well, I was and remember how I said my mom was so upset. She was angry. Well, she told me that she told her pastor about the situation, and she spoke to him. She didn't say what he said or whatever, but she has this Christian marriage self-help book that she gave. She has to give to the grandchildren when they get married. Anyway, so she gave Matt and his first wife one. And I know she gave Kurt and Brooke one. But anyway, so she told me that she wrote a letter or whatever and putting it with this book. And from the little bit that she told me, I guess you would kind of say that it's a mild lecture, you know? And I'm like, I didn't say anything, you know, I tried, I didn't like tell her that she shouldn't have done that or that, are you sure you want to do that or whatever. I just really thought about and have been praying about it. I made a couple comments or whatever, like, basically that they're not going to change each other, and the only person that's going to change them is the Lord, and they just need the Lord. They need to repent of their sins and believe in the Lord or whatever. But anyway, but I'm like, what she's doing, I know my son well enough. What she's doing is she's going to alienate them by doing this. They're not going to like it at all that she's wrote this letter besides this book, you know? And, you know, so I really feel like I need to say something to her, you know, in as much love and grace. And just tell her, you know, that, you know, Matt doesn't come around a whole lot anyway. And, you know, they're neither one believers. And, you know, I don't think you doing that's going to help, you know. It's not going to, it's just going to cause them not to want to come around even more. So, anyway, so the wedding is this Saturday, so I need to tell her before then so she can take it out of if I pray that she does. Really, it's not going to help. It's not going to help.
Well, give her, Missy, why don't you give her that Prison to Praise book?
Yeah.
Let her read that.
Yeah, but yes. Lord, I thank you for this whole situation. I mean, I have thanking for it, but
boy, she skirted that, didn't she?
No, I'm just saying.
Go ahead, Missy. Like, go ahead.
But I really don't want Mom to put that in the book in give it to them, because it's just going to be detrimental.
Yeah. But give her, just tell her Romans 8:28, all things. Give her that one.
Yeah.
Give her that. What do you think?
Well, I kind of more or less said something to that effect, you know. I said, you know, the Lord may just have to use this situation, you know, them not getting along and everything, for them to finally, you know, see, you know, they can't change each other or themselves for that matter. And, but anyway, so Father, I just ask you to, work in this situation and give me the words to say to my mom. And I just ask that she hear what I have to say, and that she does. I just bind up those spirits of rejection and those, that Jezebel spirit. And I just forbid any, I forbid the enemy in any way. I forbid any spirits to operate in this situation to cause division between my mom and I. And Lord, I just thank you, Lord, that you're going to give her eyes to see and ears to hear, that she's going to hear what I have to say, Lord. And I ask you to give me words of grace and love to say to my mom, Lord. Mm-hmm. Help her to hear it, Lord. And realize that she can't change them by what she's putting in this letter, and even this book's not even going to change. They're not even Christians. It's a Christian book. Oh, Lord, just I thank you, Lord, for working in this situation and turning it around, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Lord, we just thank you for this opportunity for you to show Missy's mom, and also her son. Your work, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that between now and Saturday, there's something going to happen that would turn her son to you, Lord, and to turn her mom away from what she's done in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for this situation and these circumstances that come up, because we know they're going to better us in it. And Lord, I ask if, when and if she talks to her mother, that you give her great wisdom and the right words to say that would not only affect her towards you, Lord, but also would put a peace in Missy's heart and her mother's heart that you're in charge. They ain't got nothing to worry about. And all they need to do is just pray for them. That's their job. Their job is to pray for them. It's not to pound them down in the ground, but it's to pray for them and believe for them. And Father, we thank you for that in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, that her mom is going to come into an understanding of who God is. We bind up that Jezebel spirit right now in the name of Jesus. We command it to stop, its cease its actions toward her in Jesus' name. Amen. And we thank you, Lord, that you're going to open up her eyes to see the truth of the gospel, not her gospel, but your gospel in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. We're going to see some mighty miracles in Missy's family in the name of Jesus. And whatever happens, Lord, we know that you're doing it for a reason. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Thank you, Lord.
Anybody else want to pray?
Yes, Lord, I do. Thank you, Lord. Father, I just thank you that your anointing is going to be all over Missy, Lord. Of peace and love, Lord, that it's your anointing is going to break the yoke, Lord. Break any yoke, God. Just thank you that you're going to be with her, Lord, and that it's all you, Father. She's submitted to you, Lord. Thank you for your grace and for your anointing, God. And for the work you're going to do, Lord, and that anointing in Jesus' name. Thank you, God.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Lord, yeah, Leah. I thank you, Lord, that you're, even before I speak to my mom, Lord, that you're already speaking to her.
Yep.
And causing her to has second thoughts and showing her yourself, Lord. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Go ahead, Leo.
I just got a little comment. Missy giving her mom that book is on the same par with her mom giving her son that book.
Well, no, her mom's a Christian.
Yeah. Yeah, I know, but anyway.
Okay.
That's all I wanted to
do. Mm-hmm. All right, anybody else? What'd you drop? Okay. Hey, that's pretty outside there. It's trees background.
Yeah, it rained earlier.
Did it? Yeah. All right, anybody else got a testimony or a praise report or would like to pray about it? You got anything else, Missy?
No, just bless y'all.
Okay. Bless y'all. Listen to that. Come on now. That's that Southernese that she's getting coming down here, taking it back up yonder. So they'd be thinking she's from Alabama or Tennessee or something. All right, anybody else? Yeah, Pat, go ahead, brother.
A couple things the Lord did. I have been battling over the last couple weeks with, I believe it's poison ivy, maybe, again, on my hand and on my arm about three or four weeks ago. I had it on my left arm, and then it was all over my elbow. And so I started rebuking it, and all the things that you know, David's been teaching us in the Word about by the stripes of Jesus I was healed, claiming that, confessing any doubt or anything, and standing on the truth of that healing. And took about a week of that, and a couple nights I woke up early, because it seems like when I get this stuff, it does something to my nerves or something, and instead of being, say, localized over my shoulder, pretty soon it even though the rash doesn't spread, the agitated nerves seem to kind of spread like all over my body, and it'll go around. So I cast that to the ground, cast that demon that was motivating that or stirring that up, and claiming the Lord's healing. And so in about a week, it got worse, and then it started subsiding and went away. And then about 2 weeks ago, it seemed to jump over to this elbow. And so we started the whole process again. And so I again cast it down, claimed the Lord's healing through His Word. And this is when I started, I'd been reading in Romans 7. I've been in Romans 6, 7, and 8. And Romans 7, Romans 6 is basically where the Lord is telling us through Paul to agree with that death that you have been given through Christ, and walk in that truth. And what am I thinking of? Verse 6, Romans 6, 6. You know what? I should be sorry about this. I should have my Bible open in front of me.
Yeah, it was Romans 6, 6.
Yeah, knowing this, that our old man was, what I was thinking about was verse 11, even so reckon yourselves dead unto sin, but alive unto God. And this dead unto sin is this functioning of sin and doubt and that sinful nature that it constantly is thinking of this as a fearful outcome, and that whole death-giving scenario that always comes with standing on God's word and battling through your flesh and the doubt and everything that's always associated with it, etc. Well, this time I was able to kind of separate myself from it and reckon it dead, a functioning of that sin in my life. And as I was studying over into Romans 7, and that whole process where that reckoning yourself dead and then being separated and seeing that sin, that law of sin functioning in your members, in your soul, that continues to function and tries to take your mind back to focus on the flesh, focus on the worldly, earthly perspective, and keeps pulling you back. And so I was I found myself just dwelling in those verses or whatever. So anyway, a couple days ago, the Lord showed me that He wanted me to show this poison ivy to Kathy, my wife, and to just claim the Lord's healing through the process. And I didn't do it. I did it last night. It was the timing wasn't right or whatever. It maybe even have been a fearful thing that I didn't want to bring it up. So I had to cast those thoughts down and cast that doubt, cast whatever those thoughts were that were thoughts of fear, thoughts of conflict, thoughts of agitation or whatever, and cast them down. But so I talked to Kathy last night and confessed it, you know, she told her what was happening and kind of brought her into the scenario. I remember that when I was way back when I was a young Christian reading in the Word, of course, I was in the midst of a group of people that did not believe in healing the way the scripture says. But I read it, basically in the scripture, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. My daughter at the time was probably a year, maybe a year and a half. She came down with a fever. And of course, I was a young Christian. So I grabbed my wife and I told her, well, take Monica out. We'll just pray for her. So we laid her down on the couch. I laid my hands on her. And I prayed for the Lord to heal her, and I was expecting something to happen immediate results, boom, and it didn't happen. And so I automatically thought that it didn't happen, something's wrong, what else do I need to do? And then, of course, I went down a whole path searching for, you know, why it didn't work, etc. And so I brought up that situation as an example of what doesn't work, because that's not faith. Faith is finding that truth in the Word of God, believing it, standing upon it, acknowledging it, confessing that, and then continuing on in that as the devil tries to take it away from you. Like in the parable of the sower, the first one, the very first thing that happens is when that word goes out, the devil tries to snatch it away out of this. If he can't do it very easily, he stirs up the pressures of life or whatever it would be and try to take your mind off of that truth and snatch it away from you that way, etc. So anyway, I just wanted to thank the Lord that, number one, the poison ivy is going away. The itching has stopped. And I can still see, you know, a little bit of a rash here, but it's going away and that it's not itching, etc. So I thank the Lord for that. Praise Him for that. The interesting thing about three or four days ago, I woke up, and it was kind of in the height of this thing, and I woke up at 1:30 in the morning, and I couldn't go back to sleep. And, of course, this whole fearful thing, you know, you're going to, this is going to spread up your arm, and you're going to be a open sores and everything on your body, and you won't be able to, somebody comes up to you, you can't shake your hand, shake their hand and say hi, because I'm going to be covered with all of this, whatever, and look terrible in front of people, etc. And all of these thoughts that keep coming through to take away your faith, the devil constantly is doing that. So I just wanted to, that was one of the things that I was going through. And so I wanted to praise the Lord that He has healed and is healing and continues to heal me. And then I just wanted to mention that I'm going to be on the road next, or Thursday coming up. We're leaving for Ohio to go up to my father-in-law is going to be in Ohio. He's having his 80th birthday. So we're going to be up there in the Columbus area for a week. So and I'll be on the road when we're coming back next Tuesday. So I probably won't. But I just want to ask everybody to keep me in prayer to speak to my in-laws about that about any situation is there. My mother-in-law is dealing with health problems, and I would like to see the Lord reveal himself to them in that situation as well. And then the latest thing I just wanted to say, I praise the Lord for his I started a new job up here, and for whatever reason, it seems like I jumped out of the skillet into the fire. And this particular job, I'm a construction superintendent, so I have to give direction and give direction to people. And when I was a carpenter, I used to build houses and frame houses and that sort of thing. And I was it was a lot easier, shall we say, that than what I'm doing now, because I was working with my hands and working with tools. And you can, if something is not going right, you can take a hammer and you can straighten it out. You can work with a wrench. You can always do something to correct the situation and try to overcome the problem, whether you have to tear it apart and rebuild it anew or whatever. But when you move into the area of supervision, your tools now are not the working of with your hands. Your tools are now influencing people, and you're dealing now with people, because the people now are so to speak are the tools in order to build construct these projects. And it's a little bit different. It's almost like raising children. That when you start raising children, when they're really little, toddlers or whatever, things are real easy. I won't say they're easy, but they're a little more hands-on. Don't do this, do this. You know, correct children, and you know, if they continue to disobey you, you spank them, and you know, you straighten them out, and things get to be they're a little bit more simple at those younger levels when you're raising kids. But once they start getting older, and then they start thinking for themselves, and then they start talking back to you, or you know, resisting you or whatever. Now you have to try to influence in a different way, spanking or you know, grounding and whatever doesn't do the same effect. Well, anyway. So I'm on this job, and I'm dealing with some people that are a little bit resistant to my authority or to working with me or whatever. And it's creating a large amount of confusion on this job. And I've had a problem for the last few days. And it's this particular project, it's going to be very, very critical that things run very efficiently and whatnot. So I don't have a lot of time in my schedule to make up any corrections. So things kind of fell apart yesterday. And I was there till 6 o'clock at night trying to straighten things out and count and do whatever. This morning I went in and I was thanking the Lord for my project all the way in, thanking him for the whole process that I'm in, thanking him that he means to bring Christ out in me through these influences and these conflicts and everything like that. And in doing so, and then I started blessing each one of my crews that were in there, blessing them that the Lord would create a spirit of cooperation and a spirit of just encouragement to that they would be encouraged about cooperating and getting the job done effectively, etc. And prayed over just peace over my whole project. And this has happened more than once, but I mean, I went in today and it's just like everybody was so calm and collected, even in the midst of this constant turmoil that we're in, but everybody was calm, everybody was collected, and we just seemed like we floated right through the day, and everything was so put together that everybody was helping, everybody was fitting in together. I could just see that the Lord's hand was in on that situation. So it was very encouraging to me, and I just wanted to thank the Lord, bring it up as a testimony of his authority and his grace in people's lives, and just much more that he wants us to speak forth for him, to agree with him in his word and truth, and just walk with him through the process. It seems like I constantly forget that, and it's the pressure of the moment that brings me back into it. So I said a whole lot of stuff there, and I guess I'm finished.
Okay. Well, praise God.
Amen.
Yeah. Praising God works.
Thanks, yeah, Lord. Yeah,
Tim, go ahead, brother.
Just a couple of words of encouragement there for that. One thing was that I noticed in his testimony about his healing, went from one arm to the other, but after he met Jesus to his wife and got her in on it and made the confession that God's going to take care of this, the Lord's going to take care of this, he started to see the result. And he's kind of keeping it to himself. He wasn't getting that result, but sharing it, the good confession seemed to make a difference there, at least in what I heard in your testimony.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other thing was that when I was working, that I would notice that as in a leadership position like you're in, when you come to work with a good attitude and glowing of Christ, it rubs off on people. Where if you come to work and are blaming the guy or not getting done and stuff like that, it drags a whole bunch down. But it, like you said, when you're giving praise and thanks for the crew and thanks for where you're at, it shows and it rubs off on people whether they know it or not. It's a silent testimony, but they see that you're a Christian and there's something inside of them that they want to perform just a little bit better for you. So you're on the right track there. Praise God for all your successes there.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Thanks, Tim.
Okay, anybody else? Hey, George. All right. Any more testimonies or praise reports or somebody would like to pray? I was going to mention, Pat, it's always nice to carry a taser around with you, in case something, I'm just saying. Don't pay any attention to me now. I'm devil's advocate here. Oh, my.
Okay. That was a taser. That was a spiritual taser.
There you go. There you go. Praise God. Yeah. Judy?
Yeah. Well, Sue and I were asking the Lord if we could have a smoothie tonight. So we did, but she asked him, and I don't think I really asked him or something, because when I was drinking it in the bedroom, I went to put it down and it spilled all over everywhere on the carpet and the wall. Oh, thank you, Lord, for letting me spill this. Maybe I really wasn't supposed to have it. I don't know. Sure, but I was praising the Lord that I spilled it and cleaned it up. And it's amazing how much better you feel when you praise the Lord when something happens.
Amen. So, praise thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Father. Okay. Good praise report. Anybody else? Yeah,
I just want to pray for Pat. We pray in Jesus' name that you would help the timing and for getting the subcontractors in and out, and that they would work together. The timing would work out, God. That I know that's a critical thing, to have everyone being in the right place at the right time so the job can flow and we don't have to go back and redo things. So just bless them with that, God. Just cause things to work together, Father. Causing the flow in a good timely fashion. And we just thank you in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. All right, Leah.
And I want to pray for Pat too, and let while he's gone next week, let things flow properly. And whoever's taking this place, let him have the same spirit that Pat was just talking about in him, and that everything would work while he's gone. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. I receive that.
Thank you, Lord. Yeah, that's a good idea, Leah. That when he comes back, the project's still going to be on time. In Jesus' name. All right, anyone else? What do y'all want to talk about? Anybody got something they'd like to talk about tonight?
How about Jesus?
Okay, we can do that. That's a good subject. That is a good subject. Go ahead, Leah.
I love him. He's my Savior, and I praise Amen. His name.
Amen. Okay.
Can I start in Psalm 23?
For sure.
Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. This verse 4 is where I find myself in, even through these battles with this poison ivy, is that I've noticed that when I get focused on doing something, say focused in at work or whatever, I'll completely forget about the itching or whatever that is happening there. Completely forget about it, and it, obviously it doesn't bother me because I'm focused on something else. And the Lord kind of showed me through that process that there's a spiritual element there that's happening. In other words, it's has something to do with thoughts or the mind or something like that. Because if it can go away in your attention span, you can focus on something else and it can go away. It's spiritual. It's not a physical pain type of thing. At least I believe that's what I'm seeing. So in this verse 4 where he says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And when I was looking at that, the Lord kind of showed me that the interesting thing about it is that David was walking through the valley of the shadow of death instead of the mountains on each side or the high parts on each side. And it's encouraging to me that that's where the Lord leads you. He doesn't lead you to those high spots on each side of that valley, but he always leads you right through into that. You can tell he's leading you because up in verse 3, he says, he restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. So for his name's sake, he's guiding me right into that valley of the shadow of death. And he's teaching us to fear no evil, even in the midst of that threatened situation. And it seems like whenever, I know whenever I'm in these conditions or these situations, there's always a fear of death or something there associated, a failure, a fear of something, a fear of I'm not going to make it or whatever, a death, and maybe an embarrassment or whatever. There's always that involved in it. And I believe that the Lord is, for the last month or so here where he's been teaching us to praise, I think he wants us to focus and set our affections on the things above and focus on him through these times, realizing that he's the one that's leading into us into these dark, potentially fearful situations. And I believe he wants us to focus not on the fear and of the death and everything, but he wants us to fear no evil based upon the fact that he is with us. He's with us in this situation. And I'm asking the Lord and praying that the Lord will give me that same focus upon that fact, the fact that he is with me even in these dark situations, even more so because he led me there, and give me the ability to, the same ability that I had when I'm focused on work or something else, and then this poison ivy that was bothering me no longer bothers me at that time because I'm so focused on this situation here, this other situation. And I want to be that way with the Lord, focused on the Lord in these situations in my life. And I believe he leads us into these situations for that very fact. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And we can always take correction we can always take comfort in the fact that God proves that he's there with us when that rod and staff continue to guide us and pop us on one side and bring us back over onto the path. And the end result of that, I have found, is that he prepares a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. He provides for me even in the midst of those that are in the midst of an environment of conflict and contradiction and people that are against me. And there's another scripture that said that when our ways please the Lord, he makes even our enemies to be at peace with us. And so I just praise the Lord. I thank him that he knows more than we know about how to walk as a disciple and what's necessary for our lives, that he is able to guide it. It's not his first rodeo, so he's bringing us through into him as his image. He knows how to do it. So praise the Lord. That's all I wanted to say.
Amen. Anybody else want to elaborate on this 23rd Psalm? Anybody can? I know we've all known this and studied it for a while. Learned it as a kid, actually. Didn't really know what it meant. I just knew it. What he's telling us there in the whole thing, I'll just ask that question. What's he telling us in that whole thing? He's telling us to rest in him, isn't he? Just rest in him. It don't make any difference what's happening. Your family members can shut you out. There might be a problem with in-laws. Might be whatever. I don't know. You know, whatever it is, don't make any difference. If you got your eyes focused on Jesus, you're in the rest. You're keeping the rest. Okay, Jesus, I see what you're doing. It's a test. Test for me. And it don't make any difference. The vilest thing can come against you. And you can have a peace in your heart knowing that God's in control and that whatever it was that happened, you got to know that God knows that it was going to happen before it happened. And that he's doing it for one reason, that's to test us or to turn us. That's the two reasons bad things happen to people, is to test us or to turn us. So we just rest in the Lord because we're being tested. Yeah, George.
I've been hearing that a lot just lately, about just the work of the enemy as a vessel of dishonor, that mm-hmm. what he thinks is going to break us is making us. And when he comes and finds us in our sin or reminds us of our past, even if we're not walking in sin, that we can agree with the enemy, say, yeah, that's my past, you're right, but praise God. And if we get our mind and our thoughts off the enemy and what he's trying to say, and immediately praise God, He wants to quit picking on us so much when he finds out that we turn straight to Jesus. If Jesus comes out of our mouth, when he wants to pick on us, he'll pick on us less, or he'll turn us into the soldier that God means us to be, and we can lead others in that same path of praise and silence the mouth of the enemy. And, you know, God said he teaches our hands to war. And when the enemy comes to us, if we raise our hands and say, but God, thank God, praise God, then what has the enemy really got to say after that? Because no matter what circumstances we're in, this too shall pass. We've got promises we can stand on and faith to build, from faith to faith and glory to glory. So, you know, we can get squeezed and we can mature in the Lord, and we can get in situations in the world where it's okay to be around people who the enemy uses, even if it's family and the people that know us the best after the flesh. They can call us out and keep us from looking backwards, because we might try to rely on some strengths or talents or something in the world that the world might admire. But when we turn and lean more on our weakness, then God is strong, and we quit living a life of flesh and start living by the Spirit, because we know that that old man has never really gotten us very far. He's gotten us in a lot of trouble. So, learning to live that Spirit-led life, that crucified life where we don't really even know ourselves and don't even trust ourselves anymore. And we say, Lord, this heart needs your help every day. And that's where I find myself, is knowing that there's very little use for that old man, my old reputation. Anybody that tries to speak well of me, the first thing I can say is there's none good but my Father in heaven. But along the same lines of what you were saying, I've been hearing that a lot about what the enemy will get right here in your ear and how we'll go straight to God when he does. I don't know if my mic was working through that, but
yeah,
y'all heard me?
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, that's actually what I was reading today, too. I was into that, all of that particular, that same particular type of subject. And we just need to rest. God's in control. Praise God. Not only is he in control, he can lift you up out of all of that mess. You know, sometimes we get the old pity me thing. Try to get self-pity going. And we just need to remember that God's the one that's orchestrating this. And, we don't need to get anxious or anything like that. Just believe him. Just put our trust into him. It's faith and trust that keeps us going. Yeah, Joel.
I've been stepping out a lot more and praying for people and laying hands on people a lot more. And I'm finding just little acts of kindness, taking water to people that need a drink. It's been hot. Just opening myself up to let God make connections and not trying to, run the roads and the little parks around town and just kind of harass everybody, but just sit amongst people and pray that God would make the connection. And I've seen some pretty awesome little things happening and joy break out and honoring people who might not get a lot of honor. And it's almost like I'm reminded that Jesus was tempted in everything just like as we are. And when we're tempted and say, people are mocking me, he can say, yeah, I remember that. And people treat me wrong, he's like, yeah, I've been there. Anything we could think to bring up and share with him, his heart of compassion, he understands. But also his kingdom and his power is available. And when he says, the same power that raised me from the dead is living in you, I can say, yeah, you're right. I got to do something with these hands. And he can remind me that there's power available. And he can remind me that there's, faith to build on and things to just step out. And if I'll use the little bit of faith I've got, he'll give me more. And that really, everything's a set up deal. If I'm looking for him in it, that, there's been so many people with really tough situations that have opened up to me. I felt like I should not have been privy to information, but they're telling me of some hard stuff. And just, I've carried a little prayer cloth with me. I gave to a lady this morning. I do want to ask y'all to pray for a neighbor's daughter who's going into chemo, and they just a young girl who's been battling a lot of cancer type stuff. And her name's Anastasia, if you'll remember her in your prayers. But I'm just expecting there's going to be more and more set up deals, and I want to be reminded to get my eyes off of me and look for God in those situations, because there's people, I got a lot of big bosses and important people that I deal with all the time, so-called, in the world, and they fall right into the God trap pretty much every day. I've had some people scheduled for surgeries that I've laid hands on, and some of them were healed instantly. Some of them would hunt me down a week later and said, just giving me praise reports, and we're dancing and singing at work and just praising the Lord and giving glory to God. And they're the ones going out and telling people what God's done for them. And, I kind of want to get back with those people and ask them again, Did you remember that God healed you? You didn't have to go to that surgery and things like that, because, I mean, he's worked some miracles. And some of it's been instant. It's almost been kind of funny. So that's, you know, that's kind of where God's got me, is step out more. And don't forget that, you know, the Bible says that Paul did, I think it was like strange and wonderful miracles with his hands, that, you know, God used Paul to work, you know, miracles. And I kind of just try not to get in God's way when it comes to stuff like that.
Amen. I was looking here. What you're saying, it goes right along with what's going on here. We got a word today, and I think David blogged it, in Haggai. I'm looking for it. Y'all give me a second here. Well, anyway, the gist of the whole thing was let me just find it here. The gist of the whole thing was this, is that the Lord is saying, we've been building our own houses in the kingdom. Now it's time to build the whole house. In other words, everybody start working toward building the kingdom rather than just getting yourself ready. Now it's time to spread out and start building the kingdom of God. Goes along with what George is talking about there. Everybody has a part in the kingdom, right? When you find out what your part is, start doing it. If you're an evangelist, evangelize. If you're this or that or whatever, do it. That's what he's saying. Bring it in. Start building the bigger house, his house. He's had us working on ourselves for a while, okay? Now it's time to build the bigger house. And that's the word he gave us today. So I just thought I'd pass that along, because George brought it out very good. If God has told you to go out and lay hands on the sick and talk to people, be led by the Spirit, not your flesh. If you're led by your flesh, you're not going to get a lot. But if you're led by the Spirit, and by that I mean be led to whom you talk to, that's the one that God wants you to talk to. We don't have to get out on the street corner and shout the gospel message, but we do have to go out and ask the Lord before we go out, you know, Lord, run these people across my path that I can speak to and be a witness for them. Yeah, Leanne, go ahead.
That was Haggai 1:7.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. Let me just read it. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house. And I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. Ye looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when you brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts? Because of my house that lieth waste, while you run every man to his own house. Therefore, for your sake, the heavens withhold the dew, and the earth withholding its fruit. In other words, the blessings aren't coming to the other people. And I called for a drought upon the land, and upon the mountains, and upon the grain, and upon the new wine, and upon the oil, and upon that which the ground bringeth forth, and upon men, and upon cattle, upon all the labors of the hand. So what he's telling us to do is just start expanding out, helping out in any way you can. If you're involved in a ministry, help that ministry out if you can. If you know something in this ministry that you can help with, that'd be fine. You know, that's what I'm saying. He's wanting to build the bigger house. Yeah, Jim.
No, I'm glad you said that, because I was thinking, you know, back before, you know, I came to UBM, you know, and started really understanding the truth. I used, you know, and I think I said this before, I mean, the Lord really, you know, like we said before, all the times where, you know, like, you know, you feel so close to the Lord, you know, you feel that joy, that peace, you know, like those times of encouragement, you know, the Lord was really encouraging me after I came out of this cult. And at times he would give me, I think David spoke of this, the imaginations of the heart, or just where it plays in the faith. You get these imaginations, these thoughts. If I remember correctly, you know, someone please correct me if this is wrong. But, you know, the Lord will put these thoughts in your mind, these imaginations, like pictures almost, of us doing things. You know, and I used to get these just imaginations. I remember one time driving down a street in an area where I used to go to school by, and all of a sudden I just got this thought of me out street preaching. You know, I used to have these thoughts of like being a kind of like a, you know, evangelist or a street preacher. I've kind of had this desire. I see myself at times preaching to the masses, you know, and I believe I received the word years about that same time. I mean, you know, I've kind of held on to it, and I've just kind of put it on the shelf, like, you know, not understanding prophecies. But there was a prophet I came in contact with years ago that he said, you know, I forget what exactly it was, but he basically says, I have a message for you, Joe, to tell this generation. And even, you know, yesterday I kind of thought about it, and I've thought about it from time to time, you know, hey, I mean, I see myself doing things. Like you know, I'd watch a movie about, you know, one of the various versions of films about, you know, Jesus. And, you know, I would watch him interact with people. I'd watch him do things, you know, just like what George is saying. He, you know, he goes and lays hands on people for healing. I would see myself do those things, you know, by faith. I mean, and as we understand, you know, by faith, we are to believe it. You know, we're to see those things, because, I mean, I think I'm starting to realize, yeah, this is God putting this in our minds. Like, hey, I want to do this. But, you know, by faith, you have to see it and see it through till it manifests itself. But, yeah, I've been seeing that. And I actually received a dream a couple weeks ago. And, it, you know, when I was talking to Bill on Sunday, Bill Steenland, he gave me the interpretation. And basically God was saying, you know, I mean, you've been kind of relying on others to, from what I remember, to kind of walk by faith, or, you know, teach you. Now it's time for you, you know, to kind of walk by faith, you know, now you understand it, but now it's time for you to do it. So, I mean, well, just, you know, maybe I ask for a prayer request, you know, I mean, I was kind of getting some of these thoughts yesterday, you know, I mean, the joy of the Lord was heavy upon me all day. I was just praising God. Yeah. I felt really encouraged when I went to meet this family, or the parents, you know, like I was talking about earlier. But, from time to time I get these thoughts, and I'm thinking, I do believe they are from God. Yeah, I'm like, I wouldn't get any random thoughts like that. You know, I see myself really being used. You know, so I'm glad you're saying, you know, yeah, it's like it's time to build the bigger house, because for so many years I feel I've been in that process. Okay, I'm building my house, or I'm letting God build me up. So it's like, okay, what's my part now? What can I do? I'm always kind of feeling like, okay, God, you know, I feel that sense of excitement, because I was feeling that today. There, you know, I mean, just the times are coming in. I've heard you say it many times, Michael, and I mean, you know, David said we're coming into some exciting times, and I thought, yeah, wow. I mean, it's, you could just sit there and think, what's it going to be like? You know, I get these ideas of what it'll think like, but yeah, keep me in prayer that I would take those things seriously. You know, take whatever my role is. I see something big, you know, like that prophecy said years ago. I thought, well, wow, yeah, I've been having those thoughts. Like, God, I believe, putting those thoughts in my mind. I got something for you, Joe. You know, I got something big for you. You know, but so, yeah, I mean, but still, I think this is more me, you know, or, you know, my insecurities and fears, thinking kind of like Moses, you know, said, I, I'm not an eloquent speaker, Lord. You know, I think I like that, just saying, like, God says, well, I want you to do this. And he's saying, you know how I speak, really? Yeah, I mean, for me, it's like thinking, you know, I always say, well, God's still working on me. You know, he's got to work in me. I think it's more of a fear and an insecurity thinking instead of just trusting God. You know, that's part of the old man. hey, you know, I mean, well, I still got work to do. So, you know, maybe later, you know, God has something for me to do. But like, no, God has something for me I could be doing now. So just keep me in prayer about that. You know, I want to begin to step into that, you know, and begin to just say, okay, God, what do you want me to do now? You know, you got a bigger plan in the days to come, but now what can I do? So.
Okay.
Amen.
Yeah, Sue.
Yeah, I had this past week, I had this song when I was taking a nap. I had this song come to me, and I couldn't remember it all. All I remember is the word time, but the word time related to going out, you know, like what you're saying. And I tried to get some words, but I couldn't remember a lot of it, you know. So I don't know if I have anything to do with that, but I know that it related strongly to us wanting, that the Lord wanted us to go out. And it was funny that on Friday I was going over to this one sister, brother and sister's house to help their mother. She's an elderly woman. And I was on the way there, and I was going to get there early, but I ended up going to this one store beforehand, and I saw this elderly woman there, and I found out she was 88. I got to talk to her a little bit, and she let me go ahead of her because I only had a couple of things that I was getting in, and she was really nice and everything. And I just told her that the Lord would bless her for, you know, letting me go ahead and stuff. And she received that, and I kind of felt that she might have been a believer, but I wasn't sure. And I didn't think about, I just thought I better go, I was thinking about where I had to get going. So I went out of the store. It was a small store, and I start driving in the car, and then I just had these thoughts come to me. Well, how do you know if she's saved? And I thought, oh, I don't know. You know? And well, what are you going to do? Like, kind of like, what are you going to do about it? Oh, I got to go back and find out, because I don't want, you know, 88 years old, you know? And I thought, well, what if, you know, if she dies tomorrow, and if she's not saved, you know, you could have said something to her. And I thought, oh, I got to go back. So I went back, and she was putting her stuff in the car. And she was telling me all the stuff that she does. She's by herself and everything. And so I just asked her, I said, do you know Jesus? Have you received Jesus? She says, oh, yeah, I've been a believer for a long time, you know. And so I got to talk a little bit with her and everything, and got to pray for her for healing. And I gave her a Good News book of Brother David's. And she was sitting in her car when I gave that to her, when I got it for her. And I felt like that would be easier for her than maybe Sovereign God. And felt like that's what the Lord wanted me to give her. Anyway, and she opened it up, and she says, oh, this is really nice. Are you sure you want to give this to me? I said, yeah, it's free. It doesn't cost you anything. She said, well, you know, and it had big words that she could see. She says, and I had no idea, but the Lord knew that she needs to use a magnifying glass to read the Bible. And she says, all these words, I can read them, because they were nice and big. Excuse me. So I just felt like the Lord allowed me to go through that test, you know. You're going to listen to me and obey me, even though she was a believer, you know. But, yeah, there's other things about that. But anyway, I felt like that's what the Lord's saying to me. He was, need to go out. Time, it's time. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Amen. Go ahead, Wade. Let me unmute you, bud. Go ahead.
Yes, I've been praying that God would use me and to heal the sick. And I have a lot of neighbors that have illnesses. I live in an apartment complex for the handicapped. But my neighbors north of me on the same building, fourplex, they're getting injured all the time, and they're always coming down with sicknesses. And he like saying to me, Wade, I believe this is for good. This is God wants to bless me through this. And I said, oh, no, Deuteronomy 28 says, you know, if it's bad, it's bad. It's not for good. And He won't take that. He'll settle with that for a while, and then he won't take it. So I said, Lord, is there anything good about suffering? Is there anything I could tell him to either get him to stop, you know, saying, is it good or is it bad? And the Lord gave me Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, in the middle of the verse. In the King James, it's the fellowship of his sufferings. And that's what I told him, you know, but that kind of like makes it so he's happy to suffer. I don't see there's anything wrong with being happy to suffer if we're suffering in Christ. But if we know that Christ is victorious in it. But he doesn't know about, well, he's born again, and he reads the Bible every day, but he has these shortages. And I do, I have shortages too, but I'm praying for him, and I'm wondering if I goofed up by saying the fellowship of his sufferings, that his injuries and all were part of the fellowship of Christ's sufferings. They both were truly believe, but they ask me for prayer, and God answers my prayer when I pray for them. Not every time, but often. Like Michael's back is always hurting him seriously bad, and I pray for him, and the pain goes away for a day or two. Then it comes back. I'm wondering if I did the wrong thing by saying the fellowship of Christ's suffering, Philippians chapter 3 verse 10. I don't know what I don't know how to continue in this. Do I continue on the grounds that this could be good for him, or do I need to establish something that hasn't been established that causes us to repeat?
Yeah, just mention 1 Peter. Well, I'm drawing a blank here. 2:24. Where he says, the curse has been put on Jesus. It hadn't been put on us. He don't have to worry about the curse being on him. He can't enjoy his curse. I'll just go with it. He's not under the curse. Christ is in him. And the curse is not part of his makeup. Go with it on that point right there, Wade, and say, God doesn't want you to live under the curse.
Right, I've been trying to tell him that.
And did you show him the scriptures?
No, I didn't. I don't know them too well. First Peter chapter what?
Well, just get your Bible. Do you have the book, Real Good News?
The Real Good News, I mean, it's on your website, or it was on your website.
Yeah, it still is. It ain't on
there. I've been through, I mean... That was the one thing that I was really committed to learning. Rob Stanley had me reading the books of the Real Good News all the time.
Yeah.
I've read the Real Good News. Right okay. Now, I need help in the area of the book number 9. It's on imagination, the Real Good News. I believe it's book number 9. That my imagination would be his, and it'd be more useful to God.
Galatians 3:13, write that down. Galatians 3:13. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written. Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that upon the Gentiles might come the blessings of Abraham in Christ Jesus. In other words, the promises are for us. All the promises are for us. Christ went to the cross so that we wouldn't have to be under the curse. So that's one right there. There's a, you know, Mark chapter 11. Y'all have to help me here. I've had my mind on something else here. Mark 11:24. what I know is another one, you know. Tell him, say, hey, look, whatever we pray for and we believe it, we're going to have it. John 14:14. John 6:21. All of those good things, verses that we've gone over over the years, you know. Matthew 18:18. Verily I say unto you, what things soever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. What things soever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. That's the authority God's given us. We don't have to put up with that mess.
Yeah, because it hurts me to see him suffering, and yeah. It hurts me even more to think that he thinks it's for good. I don't think outright that it's for a bad purpose, but I don't think he should be counting on it as something that's good for him.
There's two things. I just said a while ago. There's two reasons why bad things happen to people. Okay? He's telling me. One of them is to test your faith. The other one is to get your mind back toward the Lord, to get you back toward the Lord. It's a chastening to bring you to the Lord.
What was the first one?
A test of your faith. In other words, he's putting it on you. To all you have to do is just have faith to believe that God's going to take it away from you.
The other one is
to turn you back to Christ. If you've strayed away from Christ, how like he has, because he's believing the curse rather than the promises.
I don't know that he's ever been more mature than he is now. But, yeah.
No, just tell him to get in the Word of God and quit reading it like a hog and start meditating on it. That's why I think that's what David said. Quit eating it like a hog and start eating it and meditating on it. Meditating on those scriptures, on the promises that God gives us. If you'll meditate on those instead of just reading it like a newspaper, then he'll come into that knowledge of the Word of God, the spirit of the Word of God, rather than the letter.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, go ahead, Pat.
Yeah, I was reading that verse that you, Wade, that you gave him. And if you read the context around it, I guess the thing that was thinking that I was thinking is that sometimes there's the maybe the mindset that because he's suffering and he can take these verses and say, okay, I'm suffering in these sufferings. I'm in fellowship with Jesus, and I'm experiencing the same thing Jesus is, that he did. And the I guess the thought would be in his mind, he is thinking that, okay, if Jesus suffered, then and I'm suffering, and I'm experiencing a fellowship of his sufferings that we're together, then this is good. I'm okay. I'm in this place. That's good. However, if you read the word there, it says becoming conformed unto his death. There's a whole context there that verse 11, if by any means I may attain unto the resurrection from the dead. And the point, I guess, that is coming to me is that we can get comfortable, say, in sufferings and justify it that we are suffering in Christ and whatever. But the point is there's a purpose to that suffering in order to motivate us to another place. And so I would encourage him not only just to to go ahead and start with that fellowship of his sufferings and ponder that and think about that, how that applies to his situation, but that also to read the verses before and after that to kind of gather the whole thought that God is trying to convey, not just with that one verse or that one detail, but it's in a string of information. As Paul was saying in verse 8, I count all things for loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I suffered the loss of all things, and do count them as refuge, that I may gain Christ. There's a suffering there that he is enduring in order to get to another place, in order to, as a motivation to move to another place. That other place is that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own. Much of our suffering, even though God brings it into our lives, is the base cause is because there's a righteousness, our own type of righteousness that we're functioning in. And God wants us to be free from that, that our own dependence upon our own rightness, or thinking that we're right, or our righteous standing before God, or whatever. And so he brings us through into this, allows this suffering to come into our life, that we may, again, what we're learning now, thank the Lord for that suffering. Thank him, because you have a purpose in it, Lord. You're bringing me into another place. And this vehicle of suffering is one of the ways you're moving me from this place to another place. Even that which is of the law, but that which is that not having a righteousness of my own, that which is of the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him. All of that's for a purpose, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. So I think you gave him exactly the right verse, and he just needs to let it ponder, let him think about those things, and let him realize that it's all there for a purpose, to and that he needs to thank God. And by thanking God for this suffering, he can put his eyes and focus upon Jesus, and his mind and his affection will then turn, I believe, more to the Lord and away from that suffering, and that suffering then becomes the motivation that brings him to Christ. So, I don't know. That's just what I was thinking.
Okay. I have a question. When somebody's suffering with a disease, somebody's suffering with a sickness, when do we, is that the point when we start using faith of what the word says? Devil, it is written, by his stripes I am healed. Devil, it is written. You know, whatever I pray and I believe what I pray, I'm going to have it. Devil, it is written. What's bound on earth is bound in heaven. What's loosed on earth is loosed in heaven. And I thank you, Lord, that you've given us these promises. Now, devil, you take heed, because I'm fixing to get after you. You know, and go with it at that respect. I also believe that we thank God But do we thank him rather than have faith? Now, I'm just throwing, being devil's advocate here, okay? Do we thank him and then we pray and believe? Or do we pray and believe and then thank him? Can I give my thoughts? We pray, okay? He says to pray and then thank him, doesn't he? And then from that point on, you start thanking him for that healing. You thank him for putting you in the circumstances where you have to believe. You know, and you pray one time, and then you praise him the rest of the time and thank him for it. That's the way the word did it, you know. Go ahead, Tim.
Got another verse there for Wade, on the same lines. Is it, you know, it's in Romans 5:3, talking about our tribulations bringing forth steadfastness and that leading to hope. Is it, we're not supposed to remain in tribulation. We're supposed to, like Pat was saying, we're supposed to grow from it, grow out of it, go around that mountain and then put that behind us. There's a benefit to it, but it's not supposed to be a continual thing. It's supposed to be something that we grow our faith and learn from it and then move on. So if you want to pass that, I'm not going to read it, but it's Romans 5:3 and down through probably 6 or 7.
Somebody else? Yeah, go ahead, George.
Just reminded, when we plant that seed of faith, the Bible says when we've done all that we can stand believing, we don't need to dig that seed back up. We need to, just like when we were baptized or got and met the Lord, we need to mark the moment if we can. And one can chase 1,000, two can chase 10,000. We can get agreement on it. You know, we can hammer on it. The Word of God's a hammer that we keep applying faith and beating and praising and believing and knowing that if there's a problem, the problem is with our faith. The problem is not mm-hmm. with the Word of God. Mm-hmm. If we lay hands on somebody and we're believers, mm-hmm. they're getting better. You know, I got nothing else to do with it. I'm just a conduit that died on the cross with Jesus that's available, because how can we get a revelation on that it would be better if he would go to heaven and send his comforter? If it's better without him physically here with us, walking with us, then we got to believe that he's made available. That's just the same as if he's with us. He is with us. That's, you know, I might be more hard-headed than y'all to get a grip on that, but to realize and to walk in the fact that it is better that he went to heaven, sent his spirit, that he might be glorified. And for him to be glorified, we got to get in the mix and be available and be, you know, it's that baptism of fire that's just like, Lord, I can't believe I'm going to do this. I'm, what in the world am I getting myself into? And the worst part about it is actually letting my tongue get in the way and speak against something I've already prayed for and believed, or asked you brothers and sisters to believe with me. And like that thing with that group I catered to, you know, I applied faith. I anointed every chair in that building with oil. I got up early that morning and, you know, there's a number of things you can do believing, but when you believe, stand. And I believe y'all's prayers, we're going to get a good report on that deal too. It's like we can't lose, so we got to make sure we don't let our mouth make losers out of us.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. It all goes back to faith. You know, it's what you say with your mouth. You are what you believe. If you believe you're going to be sick, you're going to be sick. If you believe you're going to be healed, you're going to be healed. And we thank God that we are healed or delivered or whatever, whatever the situation is. Y'all know the faith thing. I mean, it's we need to just stand on our faith. Enduring your faith to the end is what he says. And praise God. I tell you what, I've been doing this for 20-something years now. And you get that boldness to go out there and lay hands on the sick. God will honor it. You can trust that he's going to back you up. I guarantee you that. I've seen that happen. I mean, you just get bold faith. You know when you put your hands on somebody, they're going to get healed. But you have to follow up with a little teaching too. You got to tell them, hey, look, you know, this thing's going to go out there and it's going to do a wheel and come right back on you. But what you have to do is keep on rebuking it, thanking God for your healing. Because that's where a lot of people lose their faith, is when it comes back on them. And they say, well, I don't guess I got healed. Well, no, you got healed. It just went out there and came back and said, I'm going to try him. I'm going to test this guy. I'm going to test him out. I'm going to test where his faith is. And if you've been taught, you could tell that demon said, no, I've been healed. You get on out of here. I ain't got time for this. I'm healed in the name of Jesus. If you do that, when you go out and you lay hands on them, all of them will be healed. It might take, I don't know. I've seen it work. I've seen healing work in immediately. I've seen it work within an hour. I've seen it work within a day. I've seen it work 2 days later. I've seen it work 6 months later. I prayed for a guy one time, had a car wreck, was in a motorcycle and car wreck. It broke his back, broke his spine. He was paralyzed from his waist down. And I pulled him up out of that wheelchair and I walked him around the front end of that Baptist church, praising God for his healing, put him back in that wheelchair, and he called me about 6 months later. He said, I'm walking. He said, God healed me. I said, praise God. Praise God. It's, you know, that's, we got to get endure in your faith. That's what it's for. Go ahead, Denny.
Excuse me. Excuse me, Wade. What I've been catching in this, I think like what Pat was saying and also Michael, that the suffering that you're talking about, that Mike, the one you're praying for, I'm not sure that he's supposed to receive that as suffering from the Lord. I think that suffering is part of the curse because it's the pain from his ailment and where you're trying to get rid of it. I think he needs to stand in resistance to that. The suffering that we're to allow is the suffering that causes our old nature to die. When our old nature suffers a death, that's so that the new nature of Christ in us can rise up. In other words, we come out of unbelief and go into belief. The old nature dies, and that's the suffering that we're to allow. It's a suffering that, you know, whatever suffering is that allows our old nature to die so that the new nature can rise up. He's to accept that suffering as being a suffering in the flesh, you know, for the Lord. But the suffering from a physical ailment that seems to be part of the curse, that is to be rejected, and we have supposed to have victory over it. You keep believing in faith that you're going to pray for him and that's not going to come back again. So, amen.
Michael?
I'm sitting here saying, go ahead, Sue. Go ahead. Go ahead, Sue. And I was muted. I was muted over here. For goodness sake.
What Denny was saying, I was thinking, didn't know whether to share this because I didn't catch all of what Wade was saying. But what came to me was Hebrews 12. You know, where he's talking about, you know, God chastises those whom he loves. And in verse 7, it says, you know, verse 6 says, for the Lord disciplines the one he loves and punishes every son he receives. And then it says, endure suffering as discipline. God is dealing with you as sons. For what son is there that a father does not discipline? But if you are without discipline, which all receive, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. So, I mean, when I was reading this portion, I thought, well, like what Denny was saying, some people get sick because they're in sin, you know, and so that, to me, I'm thinking that suffering is from God's allowing them to get sick because it's a chastisement. They have to know that there's sin in their life and they have to correct it, you know. And I mean, that made me think of what Denny was saying. So I didn't know when to bring that forth, but anyway, that's it.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. Well, all right. We can continue this on Thursday night. If y'all like, we'll just talk about faith Thursday night, or the effects of faith, or thanking the Lord, or all of that good stuff. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I just praise you. And I thank you that you said it be it done according to your faith. Now, what we speak out of our mouth, Lord, is very important. We speak curses, we get curses. We speak blessings, we get blessings. And just like Sue was talking about, Lord, there's two reasons why these things come on us. One is is a chastening, trying to get us our eyes back on the Lord. Or it's a test of our faith. And Lord, if we just know that you're in control, all we have to do is go to you and your word and repent, speak those blessings, speak those promises, and command the devil to get gone. And Father, it's just a simple gospel. We praise you for it, Father. I ask, Lord, that you place it in their hearts. So if there's something that we have a Christian brother or sister in the next few days that needs help doing something, Lord, just place it in people's heart to do it. If you see somebody in a fellowship that needs help or needs something, whatever it is, Lord, I ask that you place it in their heart to go ahead and do it. And if there's a ministry work that needs to be done, place it in those people's hearts to do it, Lord. And I thank you for it. And I ask, Lord, that I thank you, Lord, that Marlon is healed. He had a good report today from the doctors. I had a surgery and got rid of all the cancer. And Father, we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, that you're putting great and bold faith in both Marlon and Gano. And I know Greg's up there pumping him full of it too. And I thank you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. And I just thank you, Lord, that you're going to be with us to protect us and provide for us in the days ahead and to mature us in you, Lord. And we thank you for it. And we ask, Lord, that you protect us in the next few days, and we come together again Thursday night, Lord. Let us all pray for a good fellowship and a good meeting that night, that you would be the one that was leading it, Lord. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. And let's see if I can unmute everybody.